a nice day today.
Yes, it is. We're having a nice day.
I'm having a nice day too here, Frank. Thanks for having me today.
Well, I'm almost getting there. All right, we had to get him. He's so hard to get off the guitar. You know, he starts playing, he gets that fiddle going, he just doesn't do it. And the name of the company is
Apex Roofmasters. We keep you dry for life. That's Apex Roofmasters.
Oh, the crowd loves you.
I love it. I love it when a crowd loves me, Frank.
And I got to tell you, it's just nothing but fun.
It's nothing but fun, and you're definitely right. You're definitely right.
And the studio audience, they just, you know, it's just so nice when they get all excited like that, you know.
The crowd you've got here today, Frank, is unbelievable. They're happy. They're chipper. Unbelievable. It's great, amazing. Great people.
And the size of the studio, you wouldn't think we're as small as this building is. We would have a studio with 200 people in it.
And,
like that.
And all the food, the festivities, it's unreal. The chicken wings. I mean, want to put a good shout out to Luigi's for them.
Now, I got to tell you, you guys got to be pretty busy with all the rain.
Yeah, we really are. It's the season, but we still taking time to go fishing, Frank.
You know, just to... Because, you know, one of the things I like to do is share and share alike, and you promote our business quite a bit. Now, okay, first, introduce yourself, and one more time with the company. Do you have a phone number they can contact
sure
you with
can,
if the
Frank.
Roof is leaking?
If you've got a roof leak anywhere in Charlotte County, Sarasota County, and so forth, we're Apex Roofmasters. Phone number is 941-460-6011. If we specialize in second tries, if you've got a leak that you just can't fix, we'll take care of it for you. We'll keep you dry for life. That's Apex Roofmasters.
All right. And your name is Dave?
David Apollo.
Okay. I was like Dave. Dave. Okay. Anyway, obviously the show is about fishing and whatever else I can think of to talk about. And you're big into offshore stuff. You like going out there and,
We really do, Frank. We've been fishing a 28-foot Aqua Sport Fisher, a nice little tuna tower. Her name's the Job Site, and we enjoy fishing her a lot.
Got to get out on the job site.
Yeah, where's Dave? He's working. He's out on the job site. And my favorite place to work is 15 to 30 miles offshore. I'll tell you, it's
now,
a great place.
I got to tell you, we're hearing tons of red grouper, big red grouper out there at that 40-mile mark.
That 35-40-mile mark with these pig groupers. They're 26, 28, 30, 32 inches long. They weigh anywhere between 14 and 19, 20-pounders. They're just beautiful fish, Frank.
And we're hearing a lot of different reports on bait. You know, what's good and what's bad. What's your baits?
Well, you know, I always start out with something that I can make sure I'm going to have bait. If I'm headed offshore, I make sure I take 5 pounds of squid. I want them to be white. I don't want them to be too yellow looking. And just open the box up, make sure they're fresh.
Now, we carry two different types of squid. And so, because everybody's got their own one of what they want. So when you come into a store... Open the box of squid, look and see if it's
exactly.
The one. If it's not, pick a box with a different label on it because we'll have anywhere from 2 to 3 types of squid,
right.
Trying to make sure everybody gets what they like.
What we do, Frank, is we'll go out to about 30 feet and we'll anchor up and we'll put some squid, little squid chunks on our little piece of fluorocarbon leader, probably 10 inches long with a hook as big as your pinky, a half ounce weight. Send that to the bottom and we'll catch us up some... pinkmouth grunts, and we'll catch us up some squirrel fish, grunts, blue runners, just get an assortment of those small baits that are inshore.
Now, do you find it helps to throw a bunch of little pieces out for chum or just put the bait?
What I do, Frank, is I get your tournament chum bag. I buy 3 of those for a trip. I start out with 1 chum bag, get it rolling good behind the boat, and then I enter another chum bag on top of that. So I get a nice little bait ball coming off behind the boat. Plus, I cut up some of the tentacles and so forth of the squid, so I'm throwing them over because I want to get these fish chum dumb so they're going to eat and get onto my
hook. Good expression, chum dumb. They get it, you know, I mean, I've seen, you know, people doing that. You know, they get such a frenzy doing something, they forget everything else and makes them easy prey.
Exactly. And don't forget that once you get them up to the boat, they will leave you if you don't keep the chum rolling. And that's why I get, you know, two or three bags of the tournament chum that you have. It comes pre-bagged. You take a piece of 300-pound mono, throw it off the back of the boat, and you just, we call pump the bag so that the chum comes off of it in bursts. So yeah. It gets out behind the boat and the bait come up.
What I like to do is I like to make sure it's hanging straight up and down, not laying on the water. If it's hanging straight up and down, every time I move back and forth in a boat, the boat rocks.
You got more disbursement that way. Absolutely.
Yeah, and any waves that hit it, it goes. As soon as it's laying flat on the water, it's really hard to get out of the bag sometimes. And you got to actually do exactly what you said. You know, just keep pumping the bag. And I'm trying to, I let the boat help me do that.
Exactly. And I have another one of our secret applications that I'm going to share with you today, because we're on Fish and Frank's fishing show. We buy a gallon of Manhaden oil every year. We put it in two commercial sprayers, okay? Manhaden oil, the oil, not the milk. Put it in two commercial sprayers, and I'll spray that into my chum. So as it's dispersing, it's got an oil slick of Manhaden oil coming out of that chum.
Now, we used to do something similar, and we would go down and buy the whatever noodles were on sale, elbow noodles, but not spaghetti noodles. It has to be a shape type noodle, and we would put those in a bucket and pour a little Manhaden oil over them to kind of get them saturated. And you can mix a lot of other things with it, but those dry noodles will actually absorb that Manhaden oil, and it becomes like little bait balls.
Absolutely.
And we would sit there and just scatter the noodles out on the water, and it was actually very, very effective.
Pretty much once you get 24 to 48 baits in the live well, you're ready to go offshore to the blue water. And what we do is we have fun. We use a D-hooker. You can buy them at Fish and Frank's. It's a little piece of wire with a little wood handle on it that unhooks the bait. So you really never have to touch them and get them in the bait well as quickly as you can. And then we count our baits down. And once we got somewhere, I usually like to get about 30 baits to go offshore with, we head on out.
Yeah, I take frozen sardines,
squid. Yep.
And that's my staple. I've got something to fish with no matter what happens. And then, like you say, your live bait. And that live bait's the key. And Ryan Boley, he was on this morning. He's the real estate guy. And he was telling me all about, you know, he was doing way better on the grunts. He said the squirrel fish has been, you know, our traditional bait, our squirrel fish. Grunts have been kicking their butt lately.
When the squirrel fish isn't working right off, I butterfly them right on live, butterfly down on the bottom with a live grunt that's butterflied, and it's just candy to a grouper. And another thing that I like to use, Frank, is I take a whole squid, hook that on an 8-aught grouper hook, then I put my grunt on, then I take the squid and wrap it around the grunt's face and send that down with a spray of Manhaden oil on that bait setup, and it is delectable, because what happens is the smaller fish come in and start chewing on that piece of squid, and then a grouper gets enticed by that and eats the grunt or eats the squirrel fish.
And because when all the small fish start feeding, that whole frenzy feeding activity actually helps lure those big fish
in. It's chase, catch, kill for sure down there. Chase, catch, kill, and that's how you get your bite for sure.
The whole thing people don't realize is if you can get the little fish activity, the problem is getting a bait they can't get.
Right.
And that squirrel bait fish or the squid bait fish thing is a really good idea.
And I'd like to also let you in on one of a friend of mine taught me this. It's called the squid prophylactic. You get I did say prophylactic.
No, it's Frank. Good. I don't care. You can say whatever you want. I own the station. I'm not bothered.
I want to make sure, because what you do is you get a squid.
We strive for PG or G, but it never really works right. And I've had Greg and Jeff both on the show at one time.
Gotcha.
And if we can survive Greg and Jeff, we're pretty much good.
There we go. Good.
Yeah, so prophylactic, no problem. What is it?
What you do is you get a squid the size that will allow a sardine to be shoved up the middle of it.
Oh yeah, right up inside.
Right up inside. It's squid prophylactic, and then you hook on the end of the squid your hook. So it's
kind of through the eyes of the squid through the squid, through the sardine, through the squid.
Exactly. And
wow, what great idea.
It is, and it's a perfect item because the squid gets chewed up by the little fish, but because it's got the sardine in the middle, it's got more body to it, and it'll actually hold up better because the sardine tends to come off on the bottom pretty easily.
If you're sitting in Canada right now, or Minnesota, or Jersey, or wherever, this is a great idea, guys. Yeah. I mean, this is probably the best. I can't believe it. 29 and a half years I've been sitting here. Never thought about doing that. That
squid
is an amazing idea.
It's fantastic. Then what we always do at the end of the deal, before we send it down, we spray it down with some Manhattan oil, and right up into the bottom of the squid and where the sardine comes in, I make a little bit of a squirt right in there. So when the pressure from the 33 pressures, it's popping that Manhattan oil down underneath at the bottom, attracting fish.
Oh, man, that is just... That is a great, great tip.
And you heard it here
on Radio Fishing. I got to tell you guys, I am not usually that impressed with myself. The information's okay, but this is cool.
That's cool.
This is something very cool. I can't believe you're sharing this. That is like the most amazing share ever.
I think this way, Frank. If it came to my boat as the Craig Skinner sandwich, and it leaves my boat as the Apollo sandwich. So when it gets on your boat and you send it to somebody else, just name it after your name and send it on its
way.
There
you go. Because you're all right, Dave. That's pretty amazing. Now, when I leave, if you want a decent grouper spot that's not exactly on a chart.
Okay.
And you've got much... This is a spot I used to just go to, and it's 7 miles off the last bell buoy at a 272.
Sure.
And it's just a rocky bottom.
I call that triple threat. That's what it is. It's called... I've got that spot on my chart, Frank, and I call it triple threat. Nothing spectacular. It's just some cheese hard...
Good fishing, yep. Cheese bottom, and by cheese bottom, it's like Swiss cheese. The bottom is just nothing but holes, and it's probably a sandstone or limestone just eaten away over eons, and it's a great little spot. There's decent grouper, decent grunts. It's not going to be your primary spot, but if
it'll
you
get
out
you
there,
it'll get you some fish.
You'll catch a few fish, and it's one of those things where I go out there. Oh, I can take my flats boat out on mild days. I wouldn't go out there on a day like today, but on a normal, reasonable day, cruise out there, catch a couple fish, and come back in. It's a nice, easy spot. No, I don't have the numbers. It's as close as I can tell you because I've never had the numbers for it. I've never bothered to take them because I just go out to the end of the Boca Channel, hit a 272, go about 7 miles, and whether you're 7 miles, 9 miles, it's there. It's a big area, Frank.
You're exactly right.
Don't get hung up on the numbers. Go there. You might, if you're 20 feet off of where I was, you might have better fishing.
And you know what? You got on a good point, Frank. When you're off fishing and you find a good spot, if you drift off a good spot, probably a eighth of a mile or whatever it is, just watch your bottom reader and you're going to see some humps that no one's ever fished before. Mark those spots, and this is what we do, is when somebody catches a fish on a spot, we name it Jimmy, we name it Frank, we name it Steve, we name it Cheryl, and then we remember who caught the fish on that spot, and that kind of gives us a memory of what that spot looks like. So, if you see three boats on a spot, call it triple threat. If you see a double dip, just call it funny stuff on your reader, and all of a sudden you got a milk route.
And that's the best part, is understanding that it may not be the spot. I can't tell you how many times we've pulled the anchor and just drifted away, and all of a sudden, oh my God, the fish.
Right on.
And believe it or not, if someone tosses a beer can out in the Gulf,
it's going to make a spot.
All of a sudden, you get a little bit of barnacles grow on it, and then a little bit of coral, and something else catches on that. And next thing you know, you've got something that's holding a tremendous amount of fish, because there's no feature in the bottom in the Gulf of Mexico. The bottom's mostly flat and sandy. That's why we rely so heavily on reefs and stuff. And the Swiss cheese bottom, when you're going over, all you see difference on your depth finders, instead of a flat line, and keep in mind, when you're looking at your depth finder, the boat going up and down on the waves makes the bottom go up and down. So watch for that, but watch for the smooth line. Then all of a sudden you see that line getting jagged.
Right.
That's when you want to fish.
And if you see a little furry edge on it, it looks like hair, maybe a green color or a red color, that's going to be the fish on top of that spot, Frank. Yeah.
And it's understanding what you're looking at when you look at that depth finder. You're seeing that nice smooth line, and yes, it's kind of going up and down, and all of a sudden... the line at the bottom changes shape.
Yes,
so
it does.
Really watch the look of that bottom line on your depth finder, because that's going to tell you about the fish.
Sure.
You know, and you don't even have to see fish. Usually I'm looking for the structure, because the fish,
they hang with the structure.
And they're such a part of it. A lot of times the depth finder don't even know they're there.
Right.
And, you know, I've caught more fish when I don't see any fish on the depth finder. If I'm seeing fish everywhere, I'm like leaving, because I know I ain't catching nothing. I think that's, you know, every once in a while you stop and it's like hitting the slot machine. All of a sudden it comes out.
A Christmas tree.
Cherry. Orange, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's almost there, you know. Then, yeah. Okay, look at all this, get you all excited, and then nothing, yeah. You know.
I think another thing that when you're doing any type of fishing, you got to try some different things. We just added these Spro jigs to our repertoire of offshore fishing tackle, which you can get it. Don't you carry those here?
Yeah, we
also
carry the Spro jigs, but. The one thing about the Spro jig is you got to remember, you can put a Fish Bites trailer off there.
Yes.
You're not allowed to use squid or fish or anything on that jig. No natural bait. But now Fish Bites, which works, I've used it in freshwater, saltwater. Fish Bites is the best fake bait, period.
Right.
And I carry it in those strips. And I'll just cut about 4 to 6/8-inch strip. Hooking under the hook, it's really hard to get off. The fish are going to tug on it. They're going to want to eat that. They're going to come up and bang that jig.
Yep.
But it makes using that jig legal in the Gulf.
And then you can spray it down with some menhaden oil. Go back to the menhaden oil, spray your Spro jig down. You cannot get enough stink on a jig to go down. Spray it down every time you bring it
up. Try the Pro Cure on the jig.
Okay.
The reason being is the menhaden oil is good, but it kind of goes all around.
Yep.
You can take a little bit on the end of your finger with that Pro Cure, and it doesn't come off all day.
Real good.
Oh, it's the gooeyest, nastiest jelly
stuff.
Set me
up with some of that before I leave here,
Frank. I'll get you some of that in Fish Bites.
That's good.
I want you to try this grouper rig that this old guy in town made.
Okay.
And it's weird because you've got a swivel and a bead at both ends, and he uses a plastic tube. And he cut the lead so you can take them on and off. Now, for the fishing aspect, I don't think it's going to be any better or any worse than any other rig.
Right.
But when you go from one spot to the next, you can pop the leads off and not beat up your good rods.
Right on.
And the one cool thing about it is the leads are easily taken off when you want them off. But when you put it in the water, they're not coming off.
Right.
Unless you break it, you're not getting these things off. And I actually almost suggest retying them to, you know, your own knot specifications. But once you see it, it's cool. And we've got the rigs and that.
One of my buddies, Joe Monica, picked those up here. And really loves them. He said, Dave, it saves the sinkers on that.
Yeah. All it's about is saving the rod.
Yeah.
And because when you're going from one spot to the next, at the end of the day, you don't mind taking everything off. But if you're only going a couple miles to the next spot, then you hit some waves, and the rods are getting banged by the sinkers,
sure.
A lot of broken tackle. It's a great idea. And most of these guys come in here. I mean, I had two guys come in one time, and they're telling me about a snap on one end, a string, and a snap on the other end. And this was going to revolutionize the fishing business because they could clip their rod and reel to the boat. I'm like, guys,
right.
It's two clips with a string in the middle. You know, people have been fishing for over 100 years. Believe it or not, not the first time I've seen this.
Right on.
But this guy came in with this grouper rig, and literally it's a first. I never saw anybody do it. I don't see any better benefits for the fishing aspect, but the traveling aspects.
Right. Saves the rod. The rod rash is tough on a, you know, your favorite fishing rod's got so many fish in it, and that's it. So if you can catch a few more fish with that favorite fishing rod by using one, that sounds like a great idea, Frank.
Yeah, I was, it's something I actually kind of got behind. I liked the old guy. He didn't like me much at first because I told him you're doing everything wrong. And he was not happy. And he went home and was discussing it with his wife, and he came back and he said, you know, I didn't like you at all. He says, but you know what? It sounds like the truth.
Yep, there you go.
That was my only saving grace.
He
could tell I wasn't lying to him. And now he's taking it off. But I'm going to give you a couple of those. And because you do so much of this fishing, I would like a good opinion on the validity of the rig.
Okay, Frank.
And you're not really going to know until you try it. So hopefully you're going to come back and we're going to do a show and you're going to go, yep, this was good. It didn't do better or worse than my other stuff, but when I'm traveling, and that was the only thing I could. But to me, I know you have good tackle. I mean, you really get some nice stuff. And to have it get all beat up to me is weird.
Yeah, it's tough. And you know, it's what I want to tell you, Frank. I've enjoyed getting to know you over the past, what, it's been 10 years, I guess.
Oh, easy
10 years. And what I can always tell you guys, and that Frank didn't ask me to say a word about this, but the friendliness at Fish and Frank's just doesn't happen on big Saturdays. It happens at Friday 6 o'clock, when you got a few minutes.
Unless I just got off the phone with the credit card company or the banker. You know,
exactly.
I have my moments. I wish I could say it was always nice. The
good people here, though, Frank. All the guys here are great people, very knowledgeable.
I'm the luckiest person on earth because I have the best staff in the world.
You do.
The pirate crew is just the best people I've ever met. And
absolutely.
The reason they're here is because I enjoy them.
I look forward to coming here. I get in here about once or twice or three or four or five times a month. And, you know, just there's always something new here. The tackle is spot on, and the knowledge that you get here. I've got one of our customers is becoming a friend. His name's Larry Harrod, and he asked me where I bought my bait, and I live in Inglewood, and I said I get my bait and tackle at Fish and Frank's. He said, that's quite a haul, isn't it? I said, you'll go there once and you'll talk about the haul, and the rest of the time you're going to talk about the shop and the people. And he's ended up fishing with Captain Kale.
Yeah,
and gotten some good experience on his own boat. There's a lot of good guides that work here out of Fish and Frank's, and the knowledge that they share is not just for one day. You know, they teach you how to fish, and that's really the key to wanting to be a part of Fish and Frank's.
Well, about 3 years ago, I came up, a little over 3 years ago. Kale was just getting started as a captain, and he had been hanging out with Angel and all the guys, and when Angel passed away, we all, you know, we were trying to do something, and Kale started doing the fishing club with me, and he was getting real good, and he was very, very knowledgeable fisherman,
right?
And he knew the knots and he knew the techniques and all that. I worked with him a little on the water and coming back and forth and all that, but he made a great teacher. And Kale was such a good teacher. I said, you know, this would be a heck of a thing. Let's put somebody on their boat where they don't have to pay
right. The
expense of the charter captain's boat. And let's face it, especially in the harbor, I've got two boats that literally, if your ankles are out of the water, you can still float them.
Yeah.
And even most of the guide boats can't do that. They're just big, overgrown, you know, charter boats, and what a charter boat should be: easy, big, comfortable.
Yep.
In my opinion, they don't have to be 80 mile an hour boats, but get somebody to use their boat, their tackle, and give them the knowledge. And what we mostly give them is confidence and comfort.
Yeah.
Confidence and comfort are the two big things I notice. Because when you come down here, you know, when you first hit Charlotte Harbor in the Gulf. This is intimidation.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge.
It all looks the same. You don't know where to start.
How do you pick a place out of this whole thing? First time I went to Titusville, and I was fishing over whatever the name of the place, Mosquito Lagoon that.
The lagoon.
I'm looking around going, all right, where do I start? And I know from me going other places how hard it was. So with KLB being such a great teacher, now we have three or four of the captains doing it. And it's just worked out so well because you don't have to pay the boat expenses. It's literally half the price of a charter.
Right on. And what you end up doing, it's that saying, you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You teach him how to fish, and he eats
and
for
he
a lifetime.
And he spends all his money on rods, reels, tackle, boat, depth finders.
Yeah.
So that's the way it goes. Give a man a fish, he eats for a night. Teach a man to fish, he spends thousands of dollars on stuff.
And he's happy.
Actually,
he's happy.
And he's happy, yeah. But I can tell you right now, we have a leak here at Fish and Frank's. Dave's taking a look at it. And I know if you stood over by the reel counter, you know where the shower is over there. So, you know, if you're coming in, you haven't quite been able to clean up, we're going to put some little soap next to
that. Yeah, and a towel. Little guy holding a towel, too, right? Yeah.
Yes, but if this happened at your house, you're looking up the ceiling, seeing brown spots and stuff, give Dave a call. And you're going to be able to click his picture right next to the radio show, and it'll take you to their website and all that.
Great.
And you can get a hold of him easy. Always as easy, just clicking the picture at the beginning of the interview. Any last things we want to talk about grouper fishing today?
Really, really, Frank, I think you got to remember the biggest, here's the next biggest thing I can tell you is, do not jerk the rod, roll the reel. And you will set the hook, because you're 110 feet of water, 90 feet of water. Jerking a rod just pulls the hook out of the fish's mouth. But if you roll the reel and you do roll, 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 roll instead of jerk, 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 you're going to catch three or four more times the fish. And that's such a big thing on the boat. We are not bass fishing here. We're grouper fishing. It's a totally the opposite. So if you got somebody who's a great bass fisherman, chances are he's going to be the worst grouper fisherman to start with. But when he understands not to jerk the rod, it's a tap, 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 and on that third tap, start rolling, and you've got that fish.
Yeah, we always used to have my rod down by the water, and I'd feel the first tap.
Yep.
Keep it there. But when you bring that rod to start reeling,
yep,
do not lower the tip.
Don't lower the tip. Just keep it straight.
You've got to keep that rod in an upright position. As soon as you drop the tip, the fish is gone.
10 and 2, and when you're about to let the rod tip down on your pumps, start rolling the reel before you let the rod go down. It's real important to keep that tension because you're 110 feet away.
I got to tell
from the fish.
Between the squid prophylactic and the reminder of keeping that tension good, keeping that rod up, because as soon as you lift that rod, first instinct is to lift up and drop it back down, the fish is gone.
Exactly.
That's the best advice you could have gave, Dave. That's absolutely terrific.
Well, Frank, I just want to thank you for letting David Apollo and Apex Roofmasters get a little shout out here on your fishing show. And you're just a real good ambassador for this Charlotte Harbor and what it means to be a part of a community.
Ambassador. I like that. Ambassador Fishing Frank. Yes, indeed.
Exactly.
I can see the ambassador part of it. But, you know, I'm just not sure where they're going to send me. I know people would like me to be an ambassador if they could just send me somewhere. I'm sure they'd like me anywhere but here.
Hey, Frank, always good seeing you, Frank.
Well, we got the producer of this show. He's playing that out music. And Dave Roofmasters, Apex Roofmasters. Got to get all this stuff right, you know. This is time to be professional. He's a good friend, and he does great work and great warranties. I mean, you guys will be happy. And if your roof's getting a little brown spots in it, go ahead and give him a call. Mine did. My roof is fixed. Now we're going to work on the one at the store here. But that could take you a while, because I'm almost sure the roof leak on this starts somewhere in Arcadia. I think it travels down through the Peace River, up over a culvert pipe, back around the corner, through the telephone line, and comes back down in. Because this one's a hidden mystery.
There you go.
But anyway, this is Fishing Frank and Dave from Apex Roofmasters, and we'll catch you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Thanks for listening, y'all.